Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And thank you for your well wishes. Yeah, I had a little bump in the road health-wise, but I've bounced back. And you can see we're back in Studio A, where we belong, and always good to be home. And we're glad to have you here. And we have an important topic because there's been some developments in the crypto world. And I know a lot of you are interested in crypto. You're either in it or you're thinking about being in it. And I think that's all tremendous, but we've got an expert on today, Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money, and he's going to walk us through some critical issues with crypto that you need to know about before we go forward. And I got to tell you, some of these are nation-changing issues, in my humble opinion. Guy, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. And my goodness gracious, I want to get to the Trump thing last because I think it's the most important, but this country has gone from crypto is terrible, it's a bunch of criminals, to where it's mainstream and completely legitimate, which we've always known all along anyway. But I wanted to ask you a question to start off. Okay, crypto should have had a really big bump from Trump's endorsement. And yet today, crypto is down a little bit. Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so we got over 100,000 in Bitcoin right after the election, right? It did get a huge bump really fast, but lately with all the turbulence and all, you know, the economic uncertainty, you know, we've gone down as much as 20%, 24% at one point. Today we're a little bit up, but Bitcoin sits at I think around 83,000 last time I checked. But if you take a step back and you look at where it was right before the election, you know, in the beginning of November, we were in the 60s. So we're still up, right? Like, you know, just keep that perspective in mind, because a lot of people are like, wow, crypto, it's a bloodbath, you know, and the bull market is over. But if you just take a step back to where we were 4 months ago, we're still up, right? So yes, there's economic uncertainty and that's giving us, you know, short-term hits. But I still think when you take in a macro view, we're still heading in a really good direction. I don't think the bull market is over. There's no data to suggest that. So I still think with the regulatory changes coming, and, you know, Trump is still very pro crypto. They just held their first ever summit at the White House with, you know, with industry leaders. So industry, there's a heavy collaboration with industry leaders. And so there's a lot of goodwill to pass, you know, regulatory frameworks that really help innovation within the space. And you know, I think we're going to get more clarity this year. And I still think we're heading in a really good direction. The SEC is much more positive on crypto, you know, with Paul Atkins coming in, he's very pro crypto. He's going to be the head of the SEC. So we have, you know, a lot of reasons to think, you know, long-term we're going in the right direction.
Yes.
I wouldn't get so scared, you know, by these latest changes, right? But yeah, that's where I see that we are. Obviously the broader market moved down too, so it's not just crypto. They've been moving, kind of the stock market and crypto have been moving alongside each other, you know, during economic uncertainty times. They usually do, because, you know, crypto is seen as an on-risk asset. So when people are uncertain, they, you know, they take money out of on-risk assets. So, you know, that's just where we are, but yeah, still
it's good explanation. And I like the idea that you're taking a broad overview. Crypto historically is more volatile than a lot of other investments, and that's both good and bad. And I think it evens out, but if you take a curve, okay, the curve is up. If you look at the long view, you're absolutely right. What was it? 60s before the election. Now it's 83. If we just went 60 to 83, we'd go, oh, wow, look at crypto. It's really going up.
Right.
Okay, because it's dipped and come back down, it's kind of like this kind of line, but it's still projecting upwards. And now that the U.S. government is endorsing crypto, I mean, what happened to that summit? In my opinion, Guy, do you agree with me? This was an official endorsement by the President of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think it's really something should look at. I want to take a side turn just for a second. I know the banks are hoarding gold like no one's business. They're calling it in from the Bank of London, and the Bank of London's dragging their feet because they don't want to give it up. And I know this is going on with JP Morgan. I know it's going on with Wells Fargo, B of A, and all the big five banks. Okay, that having been said, You've got your gold investors and you got your crypto investors. Do you not think that the banks are going to have to come around and start dealing with crypto?
Yeah, I think they'll need to have both, and I think banks are gearing up, to hold cryptocurrency as well. I mean, especially Bitcoin, since it has similar properties to gold and that it has a fixed supply, and so it's a good store of value, right? It's they call it the digital gold, and so yeah, I don't see any reason why banks wouldn't hold it, and I think they are interested in doing that. And the Strategic Reserve, of course, is something that the administration has talked about having, right? And having Bitcoin in that, and also other cryptocurrencies now, interestingly enough. And so, and you see companies like MicroStrategy, which is now called Strategy, take, a similar approach, converting a lot of reserves, into Bitcoin. So this is, a valid strategy that's being adopted now, by huge companies and, governments as well, and banks soon to come.
Is the red tape around the use of things like Bitcoin for private purchases, is that going to diminish or increase?
It will definitely diminish. There will be more regulation, but I think it's going to be, in a way, it's reducing the red tape. It sounds counterintuitive, but it makes things more clear. So, people are not going to be uncertain. They know, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. So, that will bring people in, people that are, more traditional or accredited investors, or even if they're not accredited. People that use the traditional vehicles, they'll be able to do so for crypto. Just like, you have the ETFs. That's one way that, my parents who invest in stocks can also, indirectly invest in crypto, right? If the banks are, able to do it through the banks, then, that's going to bring a lot of people in, private people that are now, not willing to because they just don't know enough to do it on their own.
Yeah, that's boy, you're right on the money. It's a matter of just familiarity. That's all it is. It's just a matter. It's kind of like when I read about it in history books, when credit cards started to become popular in the mainstream, a lot of people didn't do it because they didn't understand them. And I got to confess to you, in the 80s, I remember I was in a school district athletic office, and the secretary was using a computer, and I thought, I'll never need one of those. Okay, so I mean, I think it's along the same lines.
What are you using right now to talk to me?
Thank you. I know. I never thought I would have a cell phone either. I thought that was for the rich and famous and government dignitaries. And here, we all have cell phones. Even poor people have cell phones, and the government passes them out to people coming into the country. So I mean, it's kind of like it's the mainstream of everything here. And I think crypto is definitely beginning to have mainstream acceptance. And I do want to ask you another question before we get back to our talking points, but and it's this: if someone were to come up to you and say, "Oh, I know who you are, you're Guy, and you manage my digital money," how does crypto work? What would you tell them in a simple explanation?
Yeah, I would just say that, and it's never a simple explanation, right? It's hard. It's always a challenge. But yeah, I would say that it's essentially decentralized money, decentralized assets. There's a ledger that's public, and it's across multiple nodes. So you don't need a middleman. You don't need a bank. So you can basically transact directly with people. Because right now it is hard, relatively, for people to figure out how to purchase it on their own, we help facilitate that. So we make it easy to do it and to do it in a retirement account. And so you can purchase Bitcoin through us, and you don't really need to know how to buy Bitcoin. It's like purchasing anything else. We help facilitate for now.
Now, I know that you do the retirement account. We'll get to that in a second, but is it possible just for my digital money to just buy Bitcoin without worrying about retirement?
Yeah, you can do standard accounts, but you
Mm-hmm.
get the same protections that you get with IRA accounts. That's the beautiful thing about it, is that even though you're not holding it in your own wallet, it's still owned by you legally, right? So we're not allowed to actually do anything with your crypto, right? And we have
Okay.
auditors, since we're fully compliant, that come in and make sure that, you know, the crypto we hold is what we say, you know, it matches our customer records. And so essentially you own it, even though you're not storing it in your own wallet, we're managing the wallet for you. But we, you know, you're more protected than you would be with a bigger exchange, like all the ones that you know. You're actually an unsecured creditor. If anything happens, there's a bankruptcy, you're an unsecured creditor. So that's the advantage. You can have a standard account with us and get the same protections, same security, and everything that you would get with an IRA.
You're opening up a can of worms there with the use of the term unsecured creditor. Let me take the term and tell you what I understand it to mean with the banks. That I've advised people not to have their retirements in the banks because of the Dodd-Frank law of 2010. You are declared as a private depositor to be an unsecured creditor in second place, and the bank is now the primary holder of the asset, and they can keep it if they want to. Is that what you're referring to with unsecured creditor?
That's part of it, and all just meaning that you know, if there's a bankruptcy, you're waiting in line, you're not first on the list, you're somewhere down the line, and so you're not the first to be paid back, right? You're essentially a creditor instead of the owner of the asset.
Okay, so if you have your, let's say you take a 401k and you take it away from the bank, which your company provides that service, and you back it with crypto, okay? First, you have largely an appreciating asset with ups and downs, but largely appreciating. But is the person who holds the crypto with my digital money as the individual investor, are they the primary or the secondary?
Yeah, they're primary, and also the important thing about IRAs is you don't have the taxes too, right? So
Yes.
it's either deferred, or if it's a Roth IRA, then you don't pay any tax on the gains. So that allows you to, you know, have compound interest. You know, if once you're, you know, in a bull market, you can sell, and then, you know, then you can buy back in, you know, a year or two later when the market is down. So you're not really having to worry about paying taxes on your gains until later down the line. Or even not at all, right? And so that's the big advantage of the IRA is, you know, with the when once you combine the tax advantages of an IRA with a high growth asset, it really unlocks a lot of value. So,
Interesting.
you know, that usually the average, you know, return with mutual funds or whatever is, you know, let's say 10%. Don't quote me on that, but around there, you know, with Bitcoin, you have much, much higher returns in the 100, you know, percentile. Year over year. So it's really tremendous when you combine an IRA with high growth assets. You know, we had a client actually that took a big leap of faith and converted his entire 401k to us in, I think it was 2022, and he's up 400%, which would have never happened, you know, with his where he was. He probably would have gained like 20% versus 400. So yeah, it's
I'm doing the math in my head right now as you speak. 400% versus about 7% annually from what you just described with a bank. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're invested in, right? Like if what kind of
Sure.
mutual funds or what, but if it's kind of a higher growth, you know, higher risk, bucket of, you know, assets. But yeah, with, you know, with crypto, you are at a different category in terms of gains. You know, when you look at a higher, like a longer horizon, a few years or 5 years, it's been the best performing, asset class.
I think that's really right on the money. I totally agree with you. Here's the other thing I like about having your retirement with crypto as opposed to in the bank is, first of all, if you're in the bank, your IRA or 401k is backed by the fiat dollar that's being backed by almost nothing today until Trump brings this basket of currencies in, which we can talk about. In other words, I believe Trump's going to bring in crypto, silver, gold, a basket full of backing to try to give the dollar some stability and backing that we're losing as not being the world reserve currency like we used to be. And right now, if you're in crypto, you're fully backed. If you're in the dollar, buyer beware. I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and I think it's good to diversify and you know, have some crypto, have some gold, you know, maybe real estate as well. Not put everything in the dollars we've always talked about. You know, you should have enough to handle your operational expenses, right? Maybe 3 months' salary or something like that. But Otherwise, you're kind of losing the value of your hard-earned money, right? So.
Bingo. And the tax benefits. I do know this because my wife is the money genius and she researched this for our future, that the IRAs that people have, 401ks, they have to actually declare them and pay tax on them when they reach 73. That's something we looked at a couple of weeks ago. We looked up the regulations on this. And so for most people listening right now, you're not 73 and you got a chance. And even when you have to declare, it's the same thing you'd have to do in a bank, and you still have all the other advantages we just mentioned. I mean, like I said, banks are going to have to adapt or they're going to die. Do you feel that, like, people that have gold or people that are in crypto and you're keeping their wallet for safekeeping, do you think that's replacing some of the function of a bank now? Are you intruding on their territory?
Not fully. I mean, I guess you could say a little bit, but overall, banks will still have their role. They can help act as an advisor and help manage your various assets, right? But they're not going to be fully replaced. Their purpose changes a little bit, right, over
Yeah.
time.
And I didn't mean to suggest they'd be fully replaced, but I see the banks have to do one of two things. They have to adapt or they're going to lose some market share to the precious metals and also to crypto. And they're also probably going to be looking at buying out through subsidiary holdings and purchasing gold companies and crypto companies and so forth so they can control and manage them. Let me ask you this. If B of A came to you today, what would you tell them?
If B of A came to us and said what?
We want to buy you.
For the right price.
That's honest. That's honest.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but we started the business because we want to make it easier for people to invest in crypto, right? And
Yeah.
to make it easy for my parents, and that's why we started it, to make it approachable. If they're gonna get in the way of that, maybe not. It just really depends what their plans would be, right?
I agree.
Because
I'll tell you one thing you said I want to go back to. You have auditors that come in and look at what you have, and you have to have what you say you have. Okay, so you can't up the ante. You can't do fractional reserve crypto. Okay, and let me
exactly.
explain that to the audience real quick. When you put a dollar in the bank can loan out $9 based on your $1. Okay, and no one's auditing them because of the Federal Reserve. And yes, I'm being political here, but it's a fact. When you're dealing in crypto, it's a one-for-one deal. You have to have what they gave you, and you can't expand on that in any way, can you?
No, you can't. And I think that's the regulation that has to be put in place. If banks are to become qualified custodians, then they can't lend out your cryptocurrency unless you give them permission explicitly, because that's the whole purpose of having, Bitcoin or crypto, is that you own it, right?
Right.
And it's yours. Even if someone is managing your wallet, I think, it's important that you stay in control of it, of your, of the custody of it. And that's why I think, banks would move to being more of like financial advisors or investment, managers, and not custodians necessarily.
Bingo. But that's such a good answer. And what I really Let me just give you a little family history here, people, and listen up. You don't have to be rich like my mom's side of the family was. We were part of the Ford family. Different names, but it was, we were they, my great grandparents were first cousins to Henry Ford. Okay. Now, did we get any tips the stock market was going to crash like Henry did and like Rockefeller did and Carnegie did? No. No. And they took a bath. My mom was a young girl, very young girl, almost, she was a toddler when the market crashed. And the family lost everything, everything. If they had crypto, that wouldn't have happened to them. Yeah. And folks, I hope you're listening to this. My mom's side of the family was richer than all get out. It's just they weren't on the inside of what was happening. And if they'd have had crypto, and so if you think the US dollar is going to crash and you think the market's going to crash, I don't. But if you do, this is why you want to look at crypto. If you're outside the system, they can't take it from you. So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
even, the government wants to have a strategic reserve. And one of the senators, Senator Loomis, just introduced a bill again. Last year she introduced a bill for the strategic Bitcoin reserve of basically buying 1 million Bitcoins over 5 years. It didn't fully pass, but now she's reintroducing it. And that means that we could have a strategic Bitcoin reserve that would end up being about 1 million Bitcoins. And now, of course, there's talks about adding other different types of cryptocurrencies in there. And it's for this purpose, right? I mean, it helps, protect the value of our reserves and the case of market crashes.
What are they looking at putting in there besides crypto? Do you know?
So, I mean, Trump kind of threw this out, willy-nilly. I don't know how much you thought about it, but he threw out Cardano, XRP, Ethereum, and Solana. Those on top of Bitcoin. So, of course, when he mentioned this was about not this past Sunday, the Sunday before. Those cryptocurrencies really took off. One of them was, I think, a 50%, price hike after he mentioned that. So, it's interesting, but.
I think this bill is going to pass in Congress, and I'll tell you why. Congress doesn't have authority over crypto. So if Trump wants to do an executive order, he can do it. He couldn't do that with the dollar because all money bills have to originate in the House. But it doesn't say anywhere all crypto has to originate in the House. And this would give Congress some measure of control over crypto. So I guarantee you this is eventually going to pass. I think even the Democrats will go for this.
So that would be good for the price. And I think cryptocurrencies like XRP are worth looking at. We have it on our platform. And one reason is, first of all, it's gone up 400% since November. It was, at 50 cents. Now it's $2.50. At one point, it was almost $3.50. And this is the cryptocurrency that's been involved in the SEC lawsuit for, a very long time. The SEC has been dropping cases, and I think it's likely to be dropped potentially even in April. There's likely to be positive developments for, in terms of that lawsuit. And
Yes.
once that happens, and there's also an application out for XRP ETF. And I've heard analysts, predict that's going to pass with a 60% likelihood this year.
What's
And
it called
so
again? XRP what?
ETF, it's an
Oh,
exchange traded
okay,
fund,
got it.
just like Bitcoin had its ETF approved about a year ago or more than a year ago in January of 2024. That's really what catapulted it into where it is now. So XRP could be, go through a similar journey this year. And there's also a lot of other, technological developments. And so that's a one that's worth looking at. XRP is the number three cryptocurrency right now. So I think that one is, we have it on our platform. Take a look at it. And obviously ask us any questions about it and make your own decision. But
If
that's
that
a really
goes,
good one.
the guy, if that goes volatile, I mean, if XRP ends up going ETF, it reminds me of when businesses have to get card readers to process credit cards. Won't it have a similar effect?
Yeah, it could. I mean, the ETF does have a big effect, but it's not necessarily the main driving factor. It definitely brings in more liquidity
Yes.
into it, right? But it's not like, people are going to be spending it directly in stores. That's the next step. But it definitely brings in a lot of liquidity and legitimacy to that cryptocurrency. It brings in institutional money, which is always good, of course.
That will force the banks to embrace this if it goes
Yeah,
in.
and the banks are. I mean, the banks are the ones driving this because the
Got to
XRP
have.
is basically a SWIFT replacement, right? SWIFT protocols, if you don't know, is what you use to transfer money across borders, right? So if you're
Right.
sending money, to a relative in the UK or something like that, likely you're using SWIFT. You're using the banking system, which uses SWIFT, which is a US-made system. So XRP replaces that, and the banks are the ones that are adopting this technology, right? Bank of America, Santander, they already have this technology, and that's what they would be using to transfer money in and out in a much more cost-effective way, right? It's the fees are much lower, the settlement time is much faster, And so, yeah, the adoption of this, right, is even more important, for cross-border payments than the actual ETF investment vehicle.
So this wouldn't just be a revolution inside the United States. This would go international pretty quickly, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
then
it's all in like most cryptocurrencies, they're all global.
but the value is going to go up. That was going to be my point because the
Yeah,
value.
I think I have some predictions here that I always caution on, but when looking at some analyst predictions, some analysts are saying $10 this year, and in the next 2 years, $100+
Is that for XRP?
for XRP. This is published in Motley Fool, and basically certain analysts are saying $10 this year, especially if it's part of a crypto strategic reserve. And $100 over the next 2 years, and right now we're at $2.5. So there's potential, right? And but you can never predict, right? Things can go bad too. But remember we are at 50 cents just in November. So I think there's a lot of room for growth over
My
here.
gosh. How do people, this is going to be a question you're going to get. I'm sure you get it. I get it too when I talk about crypto. Let's say you buy crypto at 2.5, okay, XRP. You get the XRP and then it hits 10 and people say, "Well, I need some liquidity now with this. I want to buy a car and get some other things and I want to convert that into cash." How easy is it to do that?
So typically, it's pretty easy. You just go on your whatever platform you're using and you sell it, right? So essentially you're just clicking a sell button and you're putting, the dollar amount or the actual currency, the cryptocurrency, like number of shares basically. And you sell it right there, it gets turned into fiat, and then usually you would transfer it, into your bank if you want to, use it. In the future, of course, you can transfer it into your own wallet and use that, at a store, right?
Directly. Yeah. You wouldn't need to worry about the conversion.
Yeah, that's happening more and more now. Like more merchants are accepting it, and
Right.
that's something that, the big credit card companies are working on too. And but yeah, right now most people, they liquidate it within their, so with My Digital Money, you would liquidate it within your account, and then you would just do an ACH transfer. Usually you can connect your bank within our
Got it.
platform. You log in, and then you just do an ACH, and then you have it in your bank account.
And so then My Digital Money, for example, would just mail out a check for what they sold it for.
You can do a check as well, but most people just do like an ACH, bank
ACH to
transfer.
the bank. Okay,
Yeah,
that,
just into
yeah,
their
that,
bank.
I yeah. And I
Yeah.
do ACH business too. So I know what you're talking about there, but that this is fantastic. What I really appreciate that people can do right now while we still have to convert to get liquid, and you don't have maybe someone that would take crypto, is that you are getting people into it, but you also help people liquefy as well, which is really good.
Yeah, and we also provide tax statements, right? So that's the one complex part of
Fantastic.
crypto is, you have to pay taxes whenever you sell, right? Whenever there's a taxable event, you have to report that. And so a lot of times it's hard for people to track, especially if you're doing like private wallets and whatnot. It's really hard. But with our platform, obviously you just go and print out your statements, and you can use that with your accountant.
Yeah, I appreciate that because one of the things you're hearing from the IRS right now is they want to crack down on crypto because a lot of people aren't paying their fair share of taxes. But right there, if you're giving tax statements, you're beyond that scrutiny. So I think that's really good. You said something earlier I want to go back to. Now the SEC is dropping lawsuits. That's because there's a new sheriff in town. The former SEC chair, Gary Gensler, this guy was a nightmare in many different ways, but I think particularly for crypto. And here's what I'm going to ask you on this line. Was he an agent of groups that didn't want crypto to get a hold in the economy?
Yeah, that's a lot of what people in the industry speculate on.
Yeah.
That he was tied with Elizabeth Warren, and there was a whole what the industry has termed Operation Choke Point 2.0, which is basically a plot to drive crypto out of the country. And that's basically widely believed in the crypto industry is that he had an underlying agenda. That came really from Elizabeth Warren, and that's what he was, executing on.
Okay, another question I have stemming from Gensler's anti-crypto stance to Trump's pro-crypto stance. Do you think that Trump has to marry crypto with the dollar to save the dollar?
I don't know if that's how he's looking at it, but I think so, that he realizes that it has its benefits, and when you put it together with the dollar, right, it provides, you know, a hedge, it provides you know, an additional layer of security, and so I think his primary goal is still, you know, to have a strong dollar and for that to be the world reserve currency. But Bitcoin really helps. I think it helps, you know, keep us honest and make sure that we don't mismanage, you know, our spending. So I think it really kind of complements and goes along with a larger strategy of, you know, making sure we're managing our monetary system in a way that preserves our value, the value of our currency.
Yeah, because crypto doesn't acquire debt like the dollar did. 36 trillion. So if you have a dollar equals 36 trillion in debt minus 36 trillion, if crypto comes into the picture as backing the dollar or working with the dollar, and I think backing is probably a better term, and let's say it's 10% of the dollars on hand, then you've technically reduced your national debt by 10%.
Yeah.
Because you're bringing a debt-free instrument to combine with the dollar.
Yeah, I think it's one tool in the many tools, you know, in the shed to reduce debt, right? I mean, there's the Doge thing, right, which, you know, reducing the spending. And then, you know, there's also the whole tariff, you know, premise, right, of basically, hopefully there's a master plan here to what's going on with the tariffs. But yeah, I think that even when the stock market takes a hit, if you look at it, there could be a benefit to that, right? That it's really helps reduce the interest rates. And, you know, we're paying a lot of interest on our debt. We're paying more over $1 trillion in interest every year. So even if the interest rates go down, that's going to really help reduce the debt, right? I think we pay probably an average of like 3.5% interest rates. So if the interest rates go down, then one, you can refinance and you can have much lower debt payments, right? And so, yeah, I've heard some people talk about how, you know, Trump hasn't been caring as much about the market, like, you know, the effect that, you know, tariffs and things have on the market short term, that it's more about Main Street, not about, you know, Wall Street, and that there's actually some benefit when markets take a hit. But I don't know. I'm not an economist, but I think there's a lot of different levers here, and Bitcoin is just one of them.
No, I totally agree. Do you have any feeling about the effect of Bitcoin coming into the mainstream with the government now and its effect on inflation? Will it have any impact at all?
You mean it becoming mainstream will have an impact?
Well, in other words, Trump setting up this repository, and he's embracing crypto. And he's got the support of the crypto people and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were praising him like there was no tomorrow. Will this have any impact on inflation, or is it unrelated?
I'm not an economist, but I think that it in the long term does help with inflation, right? If we're getting our spending under control, it should help in general with inflation. And so, yeah, I don't know exactly the science behind it, but generally, that's the feeling in the community, is that it should help.
Yeah, no one is explaining the science behind it, as you put it. You're absolutely right. Don't feel like the lone wolf out there, because I'm telling you, Guy, I've asked this question to economists, and they say the details have yet to be been revealed. That's what I'm hearing. But the feeling is, with people I talk to, is that it will have an impact on inflation, because you're not deficit spending any longer. You're cutting.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So the better we manage our spending, the better I think it's going to be for inflation. So this is part of that, right?
But it's a good diversification strategy too. I mean, the dollar is not out of danger, in my humble opinion. And those who've diversified into gold and other precious metals, and certainly crypto, and as you're saying now, XRP, they can survive being outside the system. The problem, think about what happened to the people in 1929. Unless they were a gold holder, and that'll be taken away from them 3 years after the crash, But unless they were a gold holder, when the stock market crashed and the real estate went with it, and that's what killed my family, they were just out of luck. There was nothing they could do. They had nothing behind them to buffer these losses. And then they had the bank holiday where the banks just hung on to the money. And it's no different today with Dodd-Frank. So, like
Yeah.
you said, that's why I'm bullish on these alternative economic plans. I want to ask you an international question on this and see if you know, because I can't find out. I know China's hoarding gold. Are they doing anything with crypto?
I want to say they do have crypto. I don't know what the numbers are. But yeah, I think they would be stupid not to keep crypto.
It used to be illegal to own crypto in China. It
Yeah,
was
as an
illegal.
individual. So,
I mean, they
that's a
put
good
people in
question.
prison for owning crypto outside the country. They still put people in prison. They did that, I think, as little as 5 years ago. And that's why
Yeah.
I'm asking, are you aware of ch if China's beginning to embrace this? Because I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably not officially, hold it, but probably unofficially and maybe indirectly, they hold it, as kind of what I would speculate, but they can't do it in an official capacity because, they banned individuals from owning it. So, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, if they at some point embrace an official reserves of Bitcoin.
Here's why I said this. I did some investigation on the Chinese economy and their social setting. And they're about 70% of their young generation under the age of 30, they have a phrase called let it rot. They want nothing to do with the Chinese system. And what's motivating some of that is the Chinese are canceling businesses like tutoring to help people get to a higher status in university. They're canceling those services. They're making them illegal. And then the other thing that's happening, and more to the point, is the Chinese banks are making it difficult for people to access their money. In fact, the Chinese banks are involuntarily putting people into their retirement accounts sponsored by the bank so they can hang on to the money. And it's just like Dodd-Frank. It's just an excuse to hang on to money and not give it up to the depositors. And that's why I think that China has no choice but to embrace crypto. They're already in a banking crisis.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they have their CBDC, which is not crypto. That's their,
True.
central bank digital currency that they promote. And the reason why is because it's state controlled and it's it gives them more control. And that's what we've now banned here, right? With Trump's executive order, the first week in office, he basically said no CBDCs, which is great because they're essentially the opposite of cryptocurrency. The only similarity is they're digital. It's digital, right? But it really gives mu much more control to the government. It's centralized as opposed to decentralized.
Really
So
wild.
yeah, they have that, but will they have Bitcoin? I mean, I think in a like in terms of their reserves, maybe, but they're not gonna want their individuals to have it because they can't control it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And here's something I hear from people because they haven't got the word yet. I'm afraid crypto will be the path to CBDC and digital control of our money and social credit system that'll punish us for saying the wrong thing. So I don't want anything to do with crypto. And you just said it. Trump issued an executive order saying no CBDC.
And a working group that is going to continue to develop blockchain innovation. And I think blockchain is used synonymously with crypto. It is essentially a technology that is going to be leveraged everywhere for there's a lot of different use cases, but essentially to tokenize any asset and keep track of purchases of any asset. There's a lot of different use cases for it. You can even say voting. You can vote on the blockchain because no one can tamper with that, right? And so, with all the problems we had with voting, I mean, you can imagine it being solved with blockchain. So right now it's still very early, but like you were saying, earlier back in the day, you couldn't even imagine using a computer, right? You thought it was kind of a,
Stupid.
edge case and
Yeah.
now you can't live without it. And I think blockchain is going to be the same. So that's why I always like, to challenge people to think about investing in cryptocurrency because you're essentially investing in blockchain And if you do it now and you have another 20, 30 years before you hit retirement, especially, I think that it's definitely a good strategy for being able to retire.
Excuse me, do any of the banks have like a crypto credit card?
I don't think that the banks have it, but I think there's other companies like, let's say, crypto.com, and like I think MasterCard and Visa are, working on allowing people to convert their crypto at the point of sale. You do have credit cards out there that are crypto oriented. But I haven't heard of, no, I don't think there's any banks that are doing it. It's more just crypto native companies.
Okay, that's a good answer. But one of the things that I'm going to have to throw this at you is a potential issue. When we say that crypto goes from 60,000 to 100,000 plus, what's the point of measure? Do they measure it every 24 hours? Is it spontaneously in the moment? How do they gauge when you revalue currency, the crypto, to get some kind of dollar amount?
It's happening in real time, right? The value of cryptocurrency goes up and down, with all these market makers, right? Like with the supply demand, it's constantly the price is constantly moving up and down, right? In 24 hours a day, not just during market hours here. So, does that answer your question?
No, perfectly. But I'm giving you questions I get from the man on the street that I think I can answer some of them, but not all of them.
And by the way, I just looked up, your question on credit cards, and yeah, I was right. There's no like big bank that has it, but you have financial institutions that are crypto oriented. You have like Gemini, and Venmo has one, and you have Coinbase and other ones that,
Coinbase, I knew about. Yeah, that's a good point. Here's another question I get from the man on the street, and we've talked about this before, but I think it bears repeating. Boy, I really want to get in crypto, but I don't know a darn thing about it. Does your company help with that when someone comes to you and they make a statement like that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So you can call us, and we have US-based personnel that will pick up your call. And we can answer general questions r about what is Bitcoin, what is cryptocurrency, why was it created, what is XRP, what is Solana, what is, Ethereum, to really explain, the purpose of it and why someone might want to purchase it. What are the pros and cons? So we'll give you some basic information, and we can send you, different content that we've produced on it. We have a crypto investment guide as well. And then beyond that, of course, we help you get started and sign up for an account. But yeah, a lot of times, because we want to make it more approachable, we want someone to feel comfortable before they purchase. So we'll answer, questions like that.
You also have that play account too that we've talked
Play
about.
money account, yeah. So you can sign up with basically $50,000 of fake money. So you can see how you would do. You could see what it's like to buy and sell. So yeah, we try to, give you the tools, the knowledge. So yeah, well, you can give us a call, and we can definitely answer some questions.
Okay, well, so what's that number to call?
Yeah, it's 833. I always forget the first three digits. So 833-636-2008. And you
Yeah.
can get that number on mydigitalmoney.com.
MyDigitalMoney.com is the website you can go to as well. I'll get that number out again because we've asked a lot of beginner questions here at the end. And I
Yeah.
think that this is going to appeal to a lot of people to at least look into this. 833-636-2008, the date of the last crash, interestingly enough.
And that's why Bitcoin was created, right? Exactly, from the 2008 crash. It
Yeah.
rose from the ashes.
I got to tell you, the crypto world has changed. We had the what was the guy's name that crashed crypto with his
Sam
fraud?
Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, he got interviewed by Tucker the other day and got thrown in solitary confinement for doing it.
Really? I
Oh, you
knew he
didn't
got
know that?
interviewed. I didn't
Oh yeah,
know.
he's in solitary now. That was actually on AP. You know why
But
I think they put him
that's
in
weird, because
solitary?
they let him do it, right? Like, they must have let him do it. So how did they throw him
They
in
said he was
solitary confinement?
sneaky. They said he did it without permission.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you what's going on, guy. I have a conspiracy theory here. the powers that be know crypto is here to stay and it's going to be embraced mainstream. And they don't want the evil empire who almost destroyed crypto on his own, his own criminality. They don't want him out there speaking about this. They want to put him in the background so crypto can go forward without any shadow over them. I know that all, I know legitimate crypto companies suffered because of what Bankman-Fried did. Because it was, one size fits all and everybody's guilty because one guy was guilty. And the crypto industry has really bounced back, and I think that's why they put him in solitary, because he wasn't supposed to talk to Tucker. I haven't seen the interview yet. I'm gonna go look at it, but I can't wait to see what he does. But he's just a common criminal. The guy's just an idiot. Anyway, I wanted to go over this again. 1-800-636-2008. And we covered a lot of ground today. And I appreciate you staying over the extra time, because I guarantee you the people that are going to benefit are the people that want to come into this now. And yours truly is embracing it. And my neighbor is embracing it. And it's here to stay, folks. Crypto is really where it's at. I mean, the dollar, okay. All I got to say is the dollar. It's where it's at. Well, Guy, it's always great talking to you. I appreciate you coming on. I think this is really productive. This is going to get shared far and wide, I guarantee you.
Thank you, Dave. And in the meantime, stay healthy.
I'm trying. I'm trying. I appreciate the well wishes. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Guy Gottschalk of MyDigitalMoney.com, and people have been asking me, the crypto repository, Dave, what is it? Well, we just had an expert on to tell you all about it and related issues as well. Hope you appreciate it. Please share this far and wide. God bless all of you. And Guy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care. And you can continue your quest into what we produce here and not have to come back several times a day like a lot of people are doing. All you need to do is subscribe to our newsletter. It's a recapitulation of everything we've done in the past 24 hours. Easy to get to, thecommonsenseshow.com, our website. Upper right-hand corner, click the newsletter link. And the only required field is your email, and you'll get a daily update of everything that we do. It's really simple. Over 50,000 people are doing it. It's one-stop shopping, and they appreciate it. You will too. Hey, we also want to let you know about our TV show, the Common Sense Show.tv. I love this. Mysteries, mysteries, mysteries. Looking at all the things that are really interesting. We just did a series on the pyramids. We're not done. I've got a really good guest I'm going to bring up on this. And repressed history, repressed technology. What was really in those Tesla files, the FBIC 70 years ago? We're going to do that too. The CommonSenseShow.tv. We also have our geopolitics as well as our good interviews. You want to go there and sign up today. And we appreciate your support on Patreon. Well, we are brought to you by something that's going to make you look better. And subsequently, you'll feel better. You'll be more active, open. It's good for your health because you're more active. And that's improving how you look. And you can turn back the hands of time with Dr. John Lake. He is a consultant to all these Hollywood stars on how to keep your youthful appearance. But he says, these creams and moisturizers we use, they barely make a dent in your appearance. So what he has done, he's gone out. And he's developed what we call an age rewinder method. And he can make you look younger, sometimes decades younger, in just a couple of minutes. And you can do it all at home. And he's so confident that you'll benefit from this that he has made a video free, uninterrupted. And 2.3 million people have already watched it. The only thing that Dr. Lake asked for is that if you're benefiting from this, you share the video. Now, how do you take advantage of this very generous opportunity? You go to BHMD1, that's Barry, Harry, Mary, and Dave, one, the number one, BHMD1.com/Dave. That's BHMD1.com/Dave. Well, we're going to take a look at something here that I find really disturbing. And it's the fact that the Democrats are blaming Trump. They're blaming Trump for the high price of eggs. Well, first of all, the man hasn't even been in office for 2 months. Second of all, Joe Biden killed 165 million chickens before he left office. That's where the fault lies. But we have more. We have good news. The left talking point on this is now ending. We're looking here at a Trump official from the Department of Agriculture. And in this short clip, she cuts the legs out of the leftist Democratic Party argument that Trump is responsible for your high price of eggs. Ludicrous. Ridiculous. Not even 2 months in office. But there's now been a development. Here's your development straight from the Trump administration.
Eggs down and the avian bird flu for everyone. A good piece of news we just got in the last day or two is that the average cost of a dozen eggs has now gone down $1.85 since we announced our plan about a week and a half ago on February the 26th. So listen, we're going into Easter season. This is always the highest price for eggs.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, would you say that the left is being disingenuous? Well, of course they are. Another story they're floating out there that we need to follow up on is that Elon Musk is allegedly saying that he's going to cut Social Security benefits for seniors. Okay, hold on a second. This is a bold-faced lie. It absolutely is. And in fact, I've actually had a trusted source today, very well-placed source, quote this. And I'm saying, no, 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 Elon Musk did not say this. Trump is talking about removing taxes from Social Security. He wants to remove taxes on seniors. Why would he reduce Social Security? No, what we're looking at is people that are 300 years old are getting Social Security benefits. How many thousands were quoted in that runoff of Elon Musk investigation? People, tens of thousands of people over the age of 150 are receiving Social Security benefits. Really? It's a lie, people. It's a fabricated lie from the left. Elon Musk can do no such thing. And even if he tried, this runs in such opposition to one of Trump's major campaign promises that Trump would shoot this down in a New York minute. It's just amazing. Biden kills the chickens, and Mike Lee made a post about this too, Senator Mike Lee from Utah. And he made a post about this, said he killed 165 million chickens before he left office. Of course the price of eggs are going to go up. To blame Trump. This is sabotage. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The people that left office set Donald Trump up for failure. They didn't care about you. They don't care whether or not you can make ends meet. They don't care if you pay a higher price for eggs and have to forego a meal. They don't care. As long as they can sabotage the incoming guy, it's a fight for power, not a fight for you. And in my humble opinion, with a couple of exceptions that we're never going to agree with everyone who's in charge of our government, but with regard to Donald Trump, he's fulfilling his promises. Seniors, you are not in danger of having your Social Security cut. Quite the opposite when you stop paying tax. It's just like the chicken problem. What came first, the chicken or the egg? No, it was the president that killed them, blamed the next president for, you know, the higher prices. That's it for the Common Sense Show. The left exposed for the lies they create, the mischief they perpetrate on the American people, and why any of you, including the diehard Democrats, would ever vote for a party that's being controlled by the most radical extremists in their particular party. You know who the spokesperson is for the Democratic Party now? A man who honeymooned in Red Square. 83-year-old Bernie Sanders. That you don't have a right to keep your money. The government will take your money and decide how it gets redistributed. Bernie Sanders. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Thanks for joining us. God bless all of you. And we will see you back here again next time.